are you today, if not a child of the living God? Let us stand, children of the Lord, as we praise our Father in heaven and sing together our call to worship, I worship you, Almighty God.
God is good.
All the time.
He is good, and it's good to be in his house. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us today, we especially want to extend a welcome to you and encourage you to fill out a visitor card. You'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you, and you can simply place that in the offering plate today. It's a way for us to get to know each other better. We encourage you to add your email address if you'd like to get updates about the many opportunities going on here at First Baptist Elon. Speaking of those opportunities, you have in your bulletin a purple sheet that names two of those coming up very soon, immediately. This Saturday, October 31st, Halloween, from 2 to 4, is our annual Trunk or Treat event. This is a wonderful time for the children to have a safe place and a fun place, and it's a lot of fun for the adults as well who decorate their trunks. You can go as elaborate or as simple as you like, because really the kids just want what?
Candy.
Amen. Yeah. So if you are willing and able to decorate a trunk, or at least have your trunk open full of candy, there's a place for you to sign your name, and you can place that in the offering plate. Also, you'll see underneath that, another upcoming opportunity is our annual Brunswick Stew. This is one of the first things I observed about this church, is that you are serious about some stew. You have these ginormous pots up there just waiting to be filled with goodness. And it can't fill itself. It won't happen on its own. So the missions team is seeking those who are interested in helping. You'll see there's a number of ways that you can help out. Or even if you're not sure how you might help or what you're willing to do, place your name and phone number if you're just interested in being a part of that in some way. And then, of course, when the stew comes, buy the stew, okay? Today, as we worship, we said God is good. And we find that God is good in his creative ability, that he made us and formed us. He fashioned us from the beginning to be his children. God is good, and he makes good things. All good gifts come from him. Consider that this morning and what that means for your life as we worship.
Our opening scripture reading comes from Genesis 2, verses 4 through 8. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you bow with me for prayer? Father God, just as you have formed us with your own hands, you have guided us to be in this place, in your house here at First Baptist Elon this morning, to worship and celebrate who you are and what you've done. But Father, we don't stop at creation for what you've done in our lives. We carry it forward to the present and to the future, what you're calling us to do. The plan, the purpose that you have set before us as a congregation and each as individuals, servants for you. Father God, as we gather here today, we lift up an offering of praise, knowing that you are with us and we are thankful. We lift this prayer in your Son's name who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing our hymn of praise, In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. Please stand.
Peace. In your bulletins, you see this is Deacon's Ministry Moment. I'm here as your deacon chair for the year to tell the church about opportunities you could come along with us as a deacon team to share and to experience the church. And the first thing I want to talk about is a team that anybody can take part in, and that's the prayer team. The prayer team is simply just that. We're a team that meets or are people that commit to pray for the needs of the church and the community and our world together. Officially, they meet every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock from 9 to 9:15 in the library. You're more than welcome to come. If we overflow that space, then we'll go someplace else. But if you would like to be a member of the prayer team to join the deacons and pray for this church and the needs of this community, then we would love to have you. In the next few weeks, every Sunday, you'll hear about another team. We'll give you another opportunity to serve, such things as celebration, casserole, helping hands, and others. So be prayerful that where you may fit in and plug in to help with these teams. And next week, you'll have another team present, and you'll have another opportunity to serve. We'd love to have anybody and everyone. Thank you.
Please stand for our offertory hymn, "To God Be the Glory." It's number 4 in your hymn book, and words are also on the screen. Please stand.
Good morning. I'd like to give us offertory prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another chance for us to gather together in your house to worship you. Father, pray that the tithes and offerings that are given today are given out of love. Remind us that we experience your blessings every day, and we just thank you for entrusting those things you've given steward of. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though struggles linger near. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who goes behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Almighty God, our world is awash with turmoil, hurt and pain. We hear so many stories of your people, your children, who are wrestling with fears and doubts or feelings of self-worthlessness. People who are wrestling with grief today. A grief that gnaws and won't go away. People who are wrestling with anxiety and depression. Or just simply the pressure of it all. To be here and there and back again. And to run this way and that way. And to keep it all together and at the same time have a smile on our face. It's a lot, God. It's a lot for anyone, for everyone. And we wrestle, too, with those who are sick, who are hurting, those who are wrestling with disease or complications or in hospital beds, nursing homes, or simply cannot get out of their own home, O Lord. But we said you were good, and we believe that. In fact, we know it. You've proven it time and time again. We cling to that, and we confess it. We confess we believe in you, and we confess we trust in you. To look upon this world and all the names on our prayer list and the people in our lives and the troubles across the globe, to look upon those with grace, mercy, and your kingly wisdom. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, we pray, we hope, and we believe. Amen. Did you hear again the words of promise from Scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen.
Stop this.
If for some reason you ever find yourself traveling along old Highway 74 between the great towns of Whiteville and Chadwick, don't miss the opportunity to notice a little sign, a little hole-in-the-wall place, obscure and not much of anything to speak of, but in Columbus County, it's kind of a big deal that we have our own zoo. So if you're ever in that area, stop by the Little Man Zoo. It's not really a zoo as much as it is a good old boy who had a little bit of land and bought a lion and then just kind of got out of control from there. When the Little Man Zoo opened, I had to stop by. I had to see this thing. And I went there, and the guy, the zookeeper and his wife, they were just good people. They gave you a personal tour of the zoo. And he started out by kind of pointing out to all the different enclosures, and he said, over yonder, that's our, we got an ostrich over there, and that's the monkey enclosure, and that right there is my zadonkey. And I said, wait, what? He said, oh yeah, we got a zadonkey. I said, what in the world is a zadonkey? He said, well, we used to have this donkey, and we got this zebra over here, and the two got together, and out came a zadonkey. This thing had the front half looked like a donkey, but the back half had stripes like a zebra. It was as though somebody had cut a donkey and a zebra in half and stuck them together like a mad scientist. But then you know what my next question had to be? So you said you used to have a donkey. What happened to the donkey? He said, well, in a straight face as he could have, well, I thought he and the lion would get along. But they didn't. So hence, they used to have a donkey. And we went around and looked at the animals, and one of the great things about the Little Man Zoo is you can walk right up to most of the enclosures, not the lion, not Bob, but you can walk up to some of the other ones. And we went up to the ostrich, and I had never seen an ostrich that close before. Their eyes are amazing. They're almost like crystal. They're clear, and they're enormous. And I'm looking at this ostrich, and he's looking down at me, and I say, look at his eyes, how big they are. And just then, the zookeeper said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And before I could even flinch, this ostrich grabbed hold of my finger and just shook it. I don't know if he thought that it was a worm or that I was trying to feed him, but I have this suspicion that he just doesn't like to be pointed at. He had that personality. And by the way, we met the camel. Camels really do spit, by the way. I learned that out firsthand. But the star of the show, the central character of the Little Man Zoo, at least back then, that's been 15 years ago since I've been there, was a monkey, a spider monkey named Clyde. And Clyde the monkey, he was about this tall, and he was just as cute as he could be. He had big baby doll eyes, and he wasn't like the other animals. He didn't stay in an enclosure. No, Clyde stayed in a house. And they called him their child. And they dressed Clyde in little toddler clothes. I'm serious. They even put a diaper on this monkey. Cut a little hole out for his tail to fit through and everything. And Clyde had his own bedroom. He had his own bed. He had all these little stuffed animals. And he pretty much followed the zookeeper around like a toddler would. Either holding hands, which was kind of precious and ridiculous at the same time, or he would be on the zookeeper's back or holding on to him. And when I came up to Clyde and the zookeeper and said, hey, monkey, Clyde jumped off of the zookeeper and onto me. With these big eyes, he grabbed my face and looks into me, and then he does this and starts to kiss me all up and down. There's like, and hug and kiss, the strangest thing I'd ever seen. It captured my imagination and kind of my heart. But, you know, as I drove away from the Little Man Zoo, I thought about Clyde and how ridiculous it was that they called him their child, that they dressed him up in people clothes, little baby clothes, toddler clothes. And it occurred to me that it doesn't matter if they dress this monkey up like a toddler, or if they speak to this monkey like it's a toddler, or if they call it a child. At the end of the day, this monkey is a monkey.
That's who he really is. That's what he was created as. And I can't help but wonder if maybe this monkey Clyde wouldn't be a lot happier swinging from some tree in some jungle somewhere with a bunch of other monkeys having a good old monkey time, rather than sleeping in the back bedroom of a double-wide trailer in Columbus County. I can't help but wonder, if he had the choice, would he not say, you know what, this is not who I am, I'm a monkey. And would he not long to be doing monkey things and living the monkey life? I think in a lot of ways, I am often in that same sort of monkey trap. Hence the title of the sermon, Monkey Be, Monkey True. It's a playoff of that beautiful maxim, to thine own self be true. Be who you really are, who God created you to be. Because as we live through this life, we often allow the world to dress us up in clothes that are not our own. We allow the world, as the Romans passage suggests, we conform our mind to an ideal, to a way of thinking. It starts when we're very young. Even as teenagers, we are told, dress this way, speak this way, watch these movies and TV shows, listen to this music, read these books. We like to think, as we get older, we grow out of that. But in fact, I would suggest to us adults, we get worse. And more so, we allow the world to put costumes and masks on us that hide who we really are. Sometimes that identity is something that maybe seems harmless or even good. We wrap ourselves up into our careers. I am a banker. That is who I am. That is what I do. That is my life. Sometimes it's our family. We live our entire lives through our children, almost vicariously, making them do the things we never did or like the things that we always liked. But our whole self becomes something else, someone else, but it's not us. More often than not, the clothes of the world, the clothes the world puts on us, are these messages of, you're not good enough. You're a failure. You're a terrible person. You're a sinner. You might be evil even. We are told what to think about ourselves. We are told what to think about beauty and what is ugly. We are told how to think about success. What is it to be a successful person? We're even told what it means to be good. And rarely do these messages match up to the truth of who God created us to be and who He longs for us to be. These are just costumes. These are just masks, masks of sin often. We define ourselves by those failures, by those constant, inescapable, nagging failures. We are an adulterer. We are someone filled with lust. We are a liar. We are a person who has an angry and hate-filled heart. We are judgers. We are lazy and apathetic. And those things control us, because as you dress your life up, it shapes the way you think about yourselves. And no doubt, there are times when Clyde probably believes he really is a child. He believes the lie his handlers tell him, just as much as we believe the lie the world, as it handles us, tells us. We are wearing clothes that are not our own. Who are we? We are children of the living God, created in His image. As the book of Genesis says, and let this not wash over us, in the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. That is our identity. That is our true self. No matter how much garbage the world pushes towards us, and either trying to twist our minds into a life of sin and forgetfulness, or trying to twist our hearts and our guts into a life of shame and guilt and feelings that we are worth nothing or worth less, those messages are not the truth. The truth is, God claims us. We belong to Him. Listen to this powerful, poetic, and just life-changing verses from Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13. For it was you, speaking of our Father in heaven, it is you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. In those words, there is something primal that when we hear it, no matter what we have believed about ourselves all of our lives or the messages we have bought into, when we hear those words, something primal beats in our chest, and we know, whether we will say it out loud or admit it, we know this is the truth. This is who I am. Not all this other stuff. I liken it to Clyde. Imagine if Clyde were to sit down and watch a documentary about spider monkeys swinging from the trees and ooh-ooh and ah-ah and all over the place and picking each other's lice, whatever monkeys do. I imagine if he saw that, something would beat in his little monkey chest. His little monkey heart would pound, and he would know, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's who I really am. Likewise, when I hear these verses, my heart pounds, for I know this is the truth of who we are as human beings. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The reality of that should wake us up. God formed you. God made you. Do you remember what you used to say when you were a kid? God made me, and God don't make no junk. To beat ourselves up or to live any other lifestyle other than that rooted in God is to suggest to God that, God, you messed up. You didn't do a good job with me. But here it says, no, God formed us. And it goes on to say, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. God don't make no junk. That when God formed us, we are in truth a work. You are a work. I am a work of God. And according to this psalm, God's works are wonderful. That means you are wonderful. You are wonderful. I want to ask you to say something that might be hard for some of you to say. I want you to say, I am wonderful. Let me hear you say that.
I am wonderful.
See, I don't think you believe it. Although you did better when I shared this passage with a group of children once, and I said, I want you to say, I am wonderful. And in unison, they all said, you are wonderful. This is not the kind of statement like we see often in our world today. This is not the prize fighter saying, I'm the best in the world. This is not LeBron saying, I'm the greatest basketball player of all time. No, this is a statement of affirmation of God's wonderfulness, that we are His work. He makes wonderful things. We are wonderful to Him and to the reality of who we are. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. God is intimate with the substance of who we are as creatures. He knows the workings and the weavings of the substance of our lives. We are always with God. You know, I was told for many years these messages of, well, I've run from God, or I've fallen away, or I am far from God.
But in reality, this is not the truth. Where could you go and be far from God? Where is there that God is not? I liken it better to this. It is as though God is right behind us always, right there with us. We are simply looking in the wrong direction. He knows us, our substance, our very being. He's intimate with us, but we don't even realize his presence. I saw this video of a daughter laying with her elderly mother who had a serious case of dementia or Alzheimer's, and she was looking away from the daughter who was laying right there in bed with her, and she was off in space somehow, and the daughter just gently reached her hand over to her mother's face and turned her mother's face toward her own. And it took just a few seconds, but suddenly there was a lucid moment, a moment of clarity, and the mother said, "You're my daughter." Now, it doesn't always happen that way. We who have wrestled with family members know. But I think in that moment, what a beautiful symbol of what God does for us. He knows us already. He is right there in the bed with us, and he has to but turn our attention to him and give us that opportunity for clarity where we could look him in the eyes and say, "I know you. You're my father. I belong to you. In your book were written all the days that were formed from me when none of them as yet existed." What is the meaning of that statement? It does not mean that God wrote the book. It says he has the book in which the days of our lives is written. The account of who we will be. Before the world began, God knew everything that we would do. It's not the same statement as saying God is going to make you do anything, or that somehow we have no free will and God determines every action or inaction that we will complete or incomplete. No, what it's saying is he already knows. It's about foreknowledge, not predestination. And his point that the psalmist is trying to make is that God knows every stupid thing you will ever do. He knows every failed opportunity in your life. He knows every time you didn't say the right thing or do the right thing when he called you to do it. He knows every place you refused to go. He knows every sin you will ever commit. He knows every hateful thought. He knows you, and yet he still says, "I love you, my child. You are wonderful." I don't know how to think about that kind of love. As I had a rabbi once say, "If I were God, I wouldn't do it like that." Well, thank God we're not God. Because that's the way he does it. And that's the way he is. He loves us in spite of ourselves. And so I would encourage you to begin to wash your mind of these masks and costumes the world puts on us, and to see that as children of God, we are invited to live life to the full, to involve God into every aspect of our lives so that he might govern our steps in a good way, to listen to him as our Father in obedience to his calling, and to realize that that is who we are. We are called to follow, to obey, to love him and be loved by him, and to accept this unbelievable message that in God's eyes, and therefore in reality, irrefutable fact is you are wonderful. Be free, monkeys. Be free, monkeys, to be who God created you to be. Ooh, ooh, ee, ee, ah, ah, amen. Would you pray with me? Why is it so hard, God, for us to believe in your love and to believe in the reality that you created us and made us to be good and to be your children? I don't know, but it is hard sometimes. Help us, Lord, to believe Forgive us in our weakness and give us a depth of faith to believe in your love and that you created us, in fact, in your image. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are able, would you stand? We invite you to join in our hymn of response, Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord, number 287.
Everybody be seated, please. And except for Laura and David and Mason, I'd like y'all to join us up here, please. As many of y'all are aware, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I hope that each of y'all have had an opportunity to speak with our pastors and thank them for their service and express your appreciation to them. We at First Baptist Elon are very fortunate and blessed to have three dedicated pastors called to minister to us. Amen. Each pastor is passionate about their ministry and uniquely talented in their areas of service. I have no doubt that God selected each and every one of them to serve here, and they show us God's love as they minister to us. Mason, David, Laura, we are grateful for all you do for us, and we have a small token of our appreciation. I want to recognize Laura as she has something she would like to speak to us about.
The HR team asked me to read this to you today. Thursday, October 15th, 2015. Dear First Baptist Church of Elon and HR team, the last 2 years serving as your minister of music and children have been such a joy and a blessing. Thank you for the love, kindness, and support you have always shown me and my family. We have made incredible friendships that are precious to our family. I have made the decision to resign from the minister of music. And children position. This comes with strong sadness about leaving and also excitement for my role in doing God's work in the future.
God has richly blessed First Baptist Elon with great people. It has been wonderful and a real privilege to work with a group that has great talent and so much love for the Lord. My hope and dream is that we can just work together as partners in growing God's eternal kingdom. I will always love First Baptist Elon and all of its members. It has been a great honor to work with all of the people in the music programs and in the children's ministry. I will always consider our time together a special blessing. My life and the life of my family would not be the same were it not for First Baptist Elon. My three children have had wonderful Sunday school teachers, pastors, good friends, and solid spiritual teaching while at First Baptist Elon. My youngest child accepted Jesus into his heart, and I had the privilege of baptizing him here. We love this church and have made many special memories. I love Jesus, and I will spend the rest of my life helping others to know the peace that comes from his salvation. He's given me the promise of eternity, given his life for mine, and my gratitude spurs me to work hard for the Lord that I love so much. My last request is that you will pray for me and my family. First Baptist Elon will always be in our thoughts and prayers. Love and peace, Laura Rice Prim, submitted Thursday, October 15th, 2015.
Laura, it's with sadness that we accept your resignation, but we know that even now God is working in your life to use you for his service. God is working on a plan for your ministry and a plan for our church. Today will be Laura's last Sunday, and we are asking Trey and Laura and the family to join Mason in the vestibule after the benediction, so that you have an opportunity to share your love and express your appreciation for her time here and to receive your well wishes, because we know y'all want to have a time for them. Laura, Trey, Debbie Claire, whoops, there. Mark and Danny, we love you. And we all pray that for your family and for your next steps in God's service. So if we can all stand, please. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for Laura and her time of service to our church. Thank you for her family. They have brought us so much joy. We love them all and ask your blessings on their family as they move forward. Lord, we know you have a plan for Laura and for our church. Take our lives and lead us to you. Thank you for your Son and your saving grace. In your name we pray. Amen.